Welcome to the Everlast Podcast. We're a young adult ministry based in Colorado Springs, Colorado. For more information, please head to our church's website at cwccs.org. Now, sit back and enjoy this week's message.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. And if you remember from the last 2 weeks, there are six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. And we've gone through three of them. And the three that we have gone through is the first set of requests that are about God and are directed towards God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then there is the second set of the three petitions, which focus on our needs from God. The prayer shifts from request directed towards God to request directed towards us. So the fourth petition and our first request towards us is found in verse 11. Matthew 6, verse 11, it says this: "Give us this day our daily bread." This verse gives us three things that we can learn from this prayer. And so we're going to break this verse down into three parts. Part one, give us. Part two, this day. Part three, our daily bread. And so if you're taking notes, here's our first point of tonight. Give us teaches us humble dependence. Give us teaches us humble dependence. Those two words, give us, is showing us right off the bat that there is something we need. Give us indicates that we require something. We are asking for something we need, right? Give us is a request. When you need someone to provide something for you, what do? You ask, right? If I need Kevin to help me with getting something down from one of the cabinets in our kitchen, and I can't reach it because I'm short and he's taller, right? I'm gonna go to Kevin and say, hey, can you grab that for me? Can you give me that cup or plate or whatever it is? I'm asking for his help and to provide for me something that I need. And the reason I share this may seem like common sense, but it's important because when Jesus is teaching us to pray, he is teaching us that when we come to the Father, we are asking him to do something, not commanding him to do something. This isn't us demanding God to give us something. It's not this give us what we are owed kind of mentality. Instead, it's us coming to him, asking him to help, to meet our needs, to do something we cannot do without him, that we can't do alone. This prayer teaches us to have a humble dependency upon him. Just the other day, I was on the phone with one of my really good friends in Texas back home, and she has three kids. She's pregnant with one, so four is coming, and two of them are under the age of four. So she's got like a handful, right? So I'm on the phone with her and she says, hey, before we even start this phone call, I'm warning you now that we are going to get interrupted at least 28 times. And I started laughing because I have nieces and nephews. I know how this works. I'm like, dude, it's all good. No worries. And we continue on the conversation. What I didn't realize was that she was being serious. I thought she was exaggerating. So I'm like, 28 times? Like, there's no way. Her kids superseded that. Like, it was way more than 28 times. And listen, it wasn't like annoying or it wasn't out of frustration, but what it showed me and reminded me is that kids are needy. They need, that's all the teachers in the room, yes. They need help constantly, right? It was, mom, I need you to grab Mickey. Mom, I need a snack. Mom, I wanna go outside and play. And it was nonstop. They are so dependent and reliant on mom. They can't do certain things yet for themselves. That they need help. They're needy. And when I think about that phone call, it reminds me of us. We are so needy. But we are a needy people. We need food and water to live. We need breath in our lungs to breathe. We have financial needs, we have physical needs, we have spiritual needs. And there are a lot of basic needs that we need in order to just survive. And when we come to God and ask, give us, we are acknowledging him as the sole giver of all that we need. He is the one we are dependent on. He is the one who can meet our needs. And I love this because this truly shows us and puts us in our place under the submission and authority in our relationship with God. And y'all, this should humble us that we really cannot do anything without him. It keeps us in this mindset of, I got this. I don't need help. I can do it on my own. And we live in a culture today that promotes this self-absorbed, be independent, don't rely on others mentality. I got where I am on my own. I don't need anybody's help. It was all me. And let me just say this, a news flash. We are not all that in a bag of chips. If you don't know that saying, it's a 90s saying, 90 kids in the room. But it basically means that you aren't the greatest of all time and that you didn't get there all because of you. You are there because of God's hand over your life. God is in control of all things. Ephesians 4:6 says, there is one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. The reason you and I exist today is because God is allowing it. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The reason you and I are breathing right now is because he is holding your very next breath. So when you say things, or the world says things like, it's all me, it's really not. God is the one orchestrating the things that take place in your life. He is the one directing those things in your life. And let me be clear, we're not talking about sin here. We're talking about our inability to even breathe without God. We're talking about how we are so dependent and reliant upon him for the things that we need in life. We're like little needy kids who need a father to give us what we need. And the first two words of this verse, give us, is intended to teach us and to get us in the right mindset that he is the one who provides. He is the one who sustains. He is the one who gives us our daily needs. And therefore, we are completely reliant and dependent upon him. There really is no such thing in a sense as a self-sufficient, self-reliant human being. The first two words of this verse puts us in our rightful place. And it should humble us that we get to come to an almighty God who is able to and wants to meet and provide for our needs. Now, something to point out before we move on to the rest of this verse. If you notice, it doesn't say give me. It says give us. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't say give me this day my daily bread. That word shows us plurality. That word us is referring to the body, to the church, to believers and followers of Christ. God, give us our daily bread. Give us what we need. And listen, this is important because this prayer is teaching us to be others focused, not to only pray about ourselves. And if we're honest, most of our prayers are consumed with self. I. And that's not to say we can't pray for ourselves or for our own needs, but this petition moves us towards focusing on and praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And because that word us is referring to believers in Christ, it's showing us that the reason we are able to be dependent on God is because we have a relationship with him. He's our dad. The reason we can ask, give us, is because there's relational equity there. We have a relationship with him. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? For those in Christ, God is our father. He's our dad who loves and cares for us. He knows what we need and he cares enough to meet our needs. And the reason we can go to our Father in the first place and ask him to provide and trust that he will is because we are his children. When you are a child of God, listen to this, you have the right and the privilege to come to your dad and ask him things. Because he is our Father, we should trust him with those needs when we ask. Which leads to our second point. This prayer teaches us to trust. This day teaches us to trust. Everlast, if we are to be dependent on God, we have to trust him. Right? Because why would you depend on someone you don't trust? Think about that. There are some people right now that you would trust with your life. And then there are others that you're like, you know, I think I'm good. Like, I'm going to pass on that one. Seriously. You could probably think of someone right now who is reliable. You know you can depend on them. You trust them to watch your house or your beloved dog, right? And then there are others that because they aren't reliable, they've showed you that for whatever reason, that they wouldn't be the person you call to watch your house or take care of your dog. You don't trust them. To depend on someone means you trust them. Those two words, depend and trust, go together. And in order to be dependent on God, you have to trust him. A great example of this is found in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, you have God's people who were in slavery. And so God sends Moses to use him to bring the Israelites out of slavery. God frees his people and they're excited. They actually break out into song, celebrating and saying, I will sing to the Lord for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. And they go on for a while in this song and worship unto God. And then just 3 days later, they start to complain. We need water. And so what does God do? He provides them water. And then they keep on in their journey in the wilderness. And in Exodus 16, they get hungry. And they start to complain again and say things like, you brought us out of slavery to kill us. Which doesn't make any sense, right? For God to bring them out of slavery and to be like, yep, I just caused all these plagues on the Egyptians. I completely destroyed Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea as they were chasing after you, all to bring you out here in the wilderness to let you die of starvation. You're right. No. Crazy. I'm going to switch mics. Podcast, we are back. All right, here we go. And so they start to complain, right? And they say things like, you brought us out of slavery to kill us. And again, God's like, why would I do that? That's crazy. But the people complain. And so God says, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. And he says, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them. And God says, I'm going to provide for you. But you are to only grab a day's portion, what you need for that day. Don't leave any extra over for that next day. But some of them didn't listen. And what happened? What happened was that bread was no longer good the next day. It wasn't edible. They couldn't eat it. It stunk. It had worms in it. It was no good. And the reason that God did this is because he was testing them to see if they would obey him or not. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, and he humbled you, and he let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He was teaching them to rely on him and to trust him that he would provide their daily needs. He wanted to show them, I will provide your daily needs. Don't take any for tomorrow, because I want you to be able to wake up tomorrow and to discover that the same God who provided for you today will provide for you tomorrow. God is saying, trust that I know what you need. I'm a good father.
who will provide what you need. You just take what you need today and trust that I got you for tomorrow. But again, there were some who took extra for the next day. Why? Because they didn't trust that God would provide for tomorrow's needs. They were worried. They were worried that God wouldn't provide for the next day. So what did they do? They took matters into their own hands. I got to collect more. Because what if God doesn't answer? What if God doesn't do it again tomorrow? And it's easy for us to be like, wow, guys, really? Do better. But that's easy for us to say or think because we're reading this on the other side already knowing what happens. And yet, how often do we do the very same thing? And if you don't think so, let me just ask you this. In this last week, what did you worry about? And it doesn't have to even be something big. It can be something that, you know, I'm not going to get to work on time, or worrying that someone didn't text me back, so they must be upset with me. Or bigger things, like some of you are worrying about your job. Some of you are worried about singleness. Am I going to stay single forever? Some of you are worried about health. I can so relate to that. As some of you are worried about the future. Some of you are worried about people and relationships. Some of you are worried about finances, right? Living in the Springs is not cheap. Some of you are constantly worried, filled with anxiety. And those what-if scenarios continually play out in your mind. What if this happens? What if? What if? What if? Fill in the blank. And there's really only two options with worry. We can either hold on to our worry, or we can give our worry to God. We can either hold on to our worry, or we can give our worry to God. I can keep it, or I can release it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, we are to cast all our anxieties and worries on him. Why? Because he cares for you. But if we choose not to, then it is only a matter of time before we try and take extra bread. Before we try and take matters into our own hands. Everlast, what are you worried about? What are the things that consume your mind and cause you to stay up at night? God is saying, you can trust me. You can depend on me. I will provide your daily needs. Don't worry about the future. It's in my hands. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Y'all know the saying? Take it one day at a time. And listen, it is a lot easier to take it one day at a time when you what you need to sustain you for today. I'm not going to worry tomorrow. I'm going to present my needs before God today, and I'm going to trust that he will provide what I need today. You can't depend on what you don't trust. Do you trust him? Something else to mention when you pray, give us this day. The reason we pray this day is because your needs will look a lot different than they did the day before. Now, some of our needs will stay the same, but other needs will look completely different. Therefore, it wouldn't make sense to pray, God, give us this next year our yearly bread. Now, that may seem comfortable to pray, but your needs change. I mean, think about today, January 30th, 2024. Some of your needs today will not be the same as January 30th, 2025. Why? Because life changes all the time. Seasons are meant to change. Therefore, our needs will be different. Think about a baby, for example, a newborn. A newborn needs milk. That's it. Well, in regards to food, right? That's it. That's what they need for the day. But in a year, a newborn doesn't just need milk. It needs added nutrition. In fact, most babies are introduced to food at like 6 months. Their needs look different in just a few months. And our needs will look different as well. That's another reason why the Lord teaches us to pray. You know our needs for today, so give us this day. Praying, give us this day, also keeps us from being like the rich fool. If you know the parable in Luke 12, Jesus responds to someone telling Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And so Jesus shares this story of this rich farmer who produced an abundance of crops. And so the farmer's like, "Man, what do I do with all of it?" And he said, "I know, I've got a great idea. I will tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones, store my crops so that," look at verse 19, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for you for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." And God's response was, "You're a fool." Not because he was blessed with profitable or having abundance of crops. It was because he bought into the lie that his own self-security would bring him complete satisfaction and that he would no longer need. And God says, "You're a fool." Proverbs 30, 8 through 9 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." I don't know if you got that, but this proverb is saying, God, don't give me so much that I would forget you or that I don't need you. Don't give me poverty that I would steal and dishonor your name. Instead, give me what is necessary for me. God doesn't want us to be like the fool, to think our provision is what brings us complete satisfaction. God wants us to trust in the provider, not in the provision. Don't put your hope or trust in the things that you need. Put your hope and trust in the one who supplies the things you need. Because at the end of the day, he is what we need. God is the best thing we need. Our spiritual need is forgiveness through Christ. The greatest gift and need you could ever ask for is the gift of eternal life. It's the gift of salvation, of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Everlasting, knowing Christ, the one who died for your sins, who sacrificed his life on your behalf and rose again so that you may have everlasting life, is your greatest need. Jesus is your greatest need. And let me just say this, if you don't know him, don't leave here tonight without having the greatest need you will ever have. We would love to talk to you. Don't leave without knowing. This is the greatest need. There's a lot of different needs in the room, a lot of different needs, and this is the greatest need you will ever have. When we pray, "Give us this day," we are trusting and relying on God to meet our daily needs. Everlast, do you trust God? Do you trust that he will provide for you? Do you trust in him to meet your daily needs? Lastly, our third point tonight, and the last three words of this verse, our daily bread. Our daily bread teaches us what to ask. Our daily bread teaches us what to ask. It teaches us what we are to pray for. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," what are we asking? What are we actually praying for? First off, it's important to know that God already knows what you need, right? We aren't asking him to give us our needs because he is unaware and we need to inform him of them. He already knows. Matthew 6:8, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So here's a question. Why pray then? Why should we pray? Give us this daily, give us this day our daily bread if he already knows what we need. And it's a great question. And I'm going to list to you just a few reasons. This is not all the reasons, just a few. One, he commands us. God commands us in his word. Two, we get Jesus. We get to spend time and enjoy his presence. When we pray to him, it's us depending and relying upon him. When we pray to him, it's an expression of our faith in him. And I'm just going to add an extra one that's not on there. He answers our prayers. Like, why go to God in prayer? Because he answers our prayers. We had just in the last, I think, six-ish months, maybe 6 to 8 months, we have two girls on our leadership team whose mom were diagnosed with cancer. And that was probably 6 months ago. One was more recent. And both of them, both of their moms are completely cancer-free. And that is a testament to God's faithfulness through prayer. He answers prayer. The other one, we're on six, but it says five up there. Just because God knows our innermost thoughts and needs doesn't mean he doesn't want or doesn't love to hear us pour out our hearts before him. He cares for us. He wants to hear from us. Honestly, it makes me think about my nieces and nephews, right? My sister knows they need food. She knows they need clothes. She knows they need a nap, right? But imagine if her kids never came to her for anything. They didn't ask her for anything. They just expected because she's mom and she knows what they need. That would be heartbreaking. I love hearing my nephew, the youngest one, go to my sister and hold out his hand and say, Wawa. That's water if you didn't catch that. He's asking for water. And it is so cute, right? She wants to hear from him. She wants her kids to come to her and ask for things. She wants to hear their voice. She wants to meet their needs because she loves them and she cares for them. And that's any good parent. God is a good parent to us, and he wants to hear from us. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 9:38, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is his delight. We are to come to him in prayer. And so if we know he knows our needs, then what should we pray? What does it mean to pray for our daily bread? Going back to Exodus chapter 16, God provided manna for his people. But God providing bread doesn't mean just food. Bread represents and symbolizes our most basic needs. It's God's provision for us as a whole. It's our basic needs. It's asking for the things that we need to get through today. It's praying for all things necessary for life, like things like water and clothes and food and shelter and finances and physical needs. But even more than that, we are praying for him to meet our spiritual needs. Going back to Deuteronomy 8:3, I'm going to read this again. It says, and he humbled you and let your hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He is the bread that satisfies our spiritual hunger. He is the one who sustains our hearts. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying, yes, God, would you provide all things necessary for life, but also for godliness. That we would seek the bread. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. We are asking that he is the bread we would feast on. He is the one we need. So we aren't just asking for food. We're asking, give us the bread, Jesus. It makes me think of the song, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. That he would be our greatest need. And when we ask God for our daily bread, we are asking him to provide just what we need when we need it for every area of life. Now, really quickly, I want to mention this. Does this mean we can only ask God just for our needs? Can we ask him to provide for our wants and desires as well? Yes. John 14:13 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Meaning, whatever, anything you ask. Philippians 4:4-6, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It says in everything, in every situation, in every thought, in every desire, want, need, you come to God with those requests. So yes, we pray for those things too. But don't be so focused on your desire that you miss out on the provider. That's why when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are praying with this mindset of having our daily need and dependence upon him. Everlast, when we come to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking and trusting him to provide what we need and to sustain us day to day. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Let's pray.